What happened yesterday in Arizona is a disgrace. I hope that every state in this country learns from that.
Yeah, me too. Bet they don't.
Well, I don't know
they never
I came
do.
Tonight.
They don't listen to the Braincast.
I got the something right.
No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Yep.
Yes, I'm stuck in the middle.
From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is the Bradcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA. And of course, coast to coast and around the globe. And of course, Radio Sputnik, 5 days a week. Glad you're joining us for at least one of those days, if not more. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow, says me from bradblog.com, live with you here today in the beautiful, beautiful KPFK studios in Los Angeles. And glad you could join us. Yes, it was another disgraceful day for democracy in America. Well, actually, not for democracy, but for the administration of our version of democracy here in the U.S., as carried out once again in Tuesday's case by at least one horrible election official. But I want to note that it was also a heroic day for many, many voters. Much more on all of that shortly as well. Desi Doyen and the Green News Report. And, you know, it's going to be one of those days. Coming up later, the GNR will calm me down. And you know what kind of a day it is, Des, when I'm looking forward to the Green News Report.
Yeah, I know.
To calm me down. Not that, you know.
That kind of day.
Yeah, it's that kind of day. That, of course, is Desi Doyen, our producer, my co-host on the Green News Report. We'll have news about the Great Barrier Reef in distress. SeaWorld ending its captive orca I saw on I think it was MSNBC in The Crawl, they were talking about that story that SeaWorld is ending its captive orca program,
right?
Or its orca
breeding program.
Yeah, it said SeaWorld is ending its okra breeding program.
Well, okra would be a little bit different. Yeah, a little soggy, but yeah.
Delicious.
It's a very watery GNR today.
Yes, it is, as a matter of fact, except for in Venezuela, where there's a drought.
Also water-related.
Yes. Okay, you're right. Good point. And in Flint. But a lot of water today. So we will talk about that ahead. But first, the reported results from the so-called Western Tuesday primaries and caucuses on Tuesday in Arizona, in Utah, in Idaho, and then problems at least as we have been able to make sense of them all to this date, making sense of both the results and the problems. Oh, and maybe some of your calls if you got any good ones. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. I'll try to open up the lines if I can shut up for a minute, but don't count on it. 818-985-5735. All right. So the let's just go through the reported results and then we'll get to the problems. And let's start on the Republican side. Since today, that's a bit easier. In Arizona, Donald Trump crushed Ted Cruz, reportedly, by 22 points. Just crushed him in Arizona. In Utah, where Republicans were holding a caucus where if you got more than 50%, you got to take all of the delegates. Ted Cruz crushed Donald Trump and crushed John Kasich by 52 points, 52 points in Utah for Ted Cruz over second place finisher John Kasich, believe it or not. And he beat Donald Trump there by 55 points. So he did get, in fact, the 50% winner take all. Overall, however, Donald Trump picked up 18 more delegates net over Ted Cruz on Tuesday. There are still 1,237 needed to win that GOP nomination, and that's where Republicans are trying to derail Donald Trump. Good luck with that. Trump is now leading Ted Cruz by 274 delegates. Let's see. Overall, yeah, he leads him by 274. Trump picked up 58 all to himself in Arizona, and Ted Cruz picked up 40 all to himself in Utah. I'm going to get back to that Utah Republican caucus in a little bit here. We talked about it at some length on yesterday's program, but we'll try to get to some new information about this insane internet online voting caucus that the Republicans subjected about 50,000 of their voters to, at least reportedly. We'll get back to that. Okay, let's move over to the Democratic side. Results only. We'll get to the problems shortly in Arizona. Hillary Clinton reportedly, decisively beat Bernie Sanders by more than 17 points. Though early on Wednesday morning, Sanders was actually up by a point in Election Day votes versus early and absentee voters, which reportedly they scan their paper ballots in Phoenix. So we don't know if they scan them accurately with those computers, but reportedly Hillary was winning in early and absentee votes, whereas Bernie Sanders was winning in Election Day votes. Now, Clinton reportedly ended up receiving more than 70,000 more votes than Sanders as of last check, with some 400,000 cast. So, that's what happened in Arizona as far as the results go. As I said, problems in a moment. Utah in the caucus there, Bernie Sanders absolutely crushed Hillary Clinton. And this was bigger. I think this was bigger than, this was even bigger than what Ted Cruz did to Trump and Kasich in Utah. In Utah, Sanders crushed Clinton by 58 points. There was record turnout. There was long lines to get into these caucuses, which, remember, are run by the parties, not by actual election officials. There was some hope that there would be 50,000 turning out on the Democratic side. It looks like in Utah, of all places, it looks like they have appeared to have blown that away. They're more like 80,000 turned out. Longtime Utah voter and Bradblog.com commentator, I shouldn't say commenter, Larry Bergen dropped a comment on Wednesday after voting in the Utah caucuses. Saying they can't say Utah Democrats aren't showing up to vote anymore. Just give us somebody to vote for and get out of the way, says Larry Bergen at Bradblog.com today. Smartly said, Larry. Up in Idaho, where there was also a caucus, only the Democrats were caucusing in Idaho on Tuesday night, Sanders also crushed Hillary Clinton. In that case, reportedly by 57 points. 57 points he beat her. So 58 in Utah, 57 in Idaho. Just quite amazing. Again, record turnout in Idaho as well, particularly in Boise, Idaho, where they're calling their caucus on Tuesday night. In Boise, the largest caucus in U.S. history. Apparently there were some 9,000 caucus goers at a single site in Boise, which is a beautiful town, by the way. I have been there. Very nice town. Way to go, caucusers, voters up there in Idaho. Sanders beat Clinton at some caucuses by a 4-1 margin. And so, you know, with that kind of turnout in Utah and Idaho, these so-called red states, and I hate calling them that, but these so-called red states, Republican states that vote Republican in at least presidential elections and statewide elections, huge numbers of Democrats are, in fact, there. Democrats would be wise to stop ignoring some of those states, I might note. And it underscores Bernie Sanders' argument that he's been making, that he's the most electable because he can turn out not just Democrats, but also independents and people who don't otherwise vote. If you're looking for some kind of evidence, there it is in Utah and Idaho. In any event, Bernie Sanders ended up picking up overall 17 pledged delegates over Hillary Clinton on Tuesday. So he won two of the states. He lost one. All, again, reportedly, picked up 17 delegates overall to close Clinton's lead over him. But she is still up by almost exactly 300 pledged delegates at this time. Not talking about the superdelegates, but the pledged delegates. So she remains up. He closed the margin a little bit. Right now, the total needed on the Democratic side to win the nomination is 2,140. Hillary Clinton has 1,217. Bernie Sanders has 915 as of now. So he won. Bernie won 2 out of 3 states on Tuesday night, picked up 17 delegates on Hillary Clinton, and in the Wall Street Journal, the headline on Wednesday, Bernie Sanders lags Hillary Clinton despite winning 2 state caucuses. Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders battled to a split decision. It was a split decision. He won two states. He won more delegates, but it was a split decision, I guess. Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders battled to a split decision in Tuesday's Democratic contests. But the former Secretary of State maintained her commanding lead in the chase for delegates by winning the primary in Arizona, the day's biggest prize. Well, I kind of thought the day's biggest prize was winning more delegates than the person you're running against. But OK, that's Wall Street Journal. It's owned by Rupert Murdoch, Fox News owner, and so forth. OK, now let's get on to the problems. And there were a lot of them, and most of them, at least so far reported, were in Arizona. It was, as I said, another shameful day at American polling places, to be frank. And this was after a week of coverage on this show, on Bradcast, more than a week, of ballot shortages in Illinois, and where thousands of voters had to be turned away. You've got a state's attorney that we had on as our guest on the program earlier this week trying to solve that problem by having extended voting, even though the election took place last Tuesday. He got a court to approve it, and now the state attorney general in Illinois is fighting that. So that's on hold for the moment. But this was at least in one county alone, 3,400 voters who weren't able to vote in Illinois. This is after photo ID voter suppression in North Carolina. We've been talking about that for the last several days on this program. Electronic poll book problems in Florida, just to name a few. Why we can't run elections in this country, I couldn't tell you. But this is what's happening. And it is not the fault of the voters. It is the fault of the officials who run these elections. So once again, we saw ridiculously, obscenely long lines around the state of Arizona, particularly, specifically in Phoenix, in Maricopa County, which is Phoenix, the largest by far county in the great state of Arizona, where some voters waited online for 3, 4, and 5 hours to vote. In the hot Phoenix sun, by the way, at least until it got dark, some of them were still in line until after midnight trying to cast their vote. This after the number of polling places in Phoenix was reduced from 211 back in 2012 to just 60 this year. And it was done by Maricopa County Recorder Helen Purcell. She's the one who made this choice to move it from 211 polling places back in 2012 down to only 60 this year. Now, back in 2012, you didn't have 2 contested primaries going on at the same time. You had a Republican race, and that was it. And Barack Obama was running for re-election. Back in 2008, they had 400 polling places in Maricopa. So we've gone from 400 down to just 60 this year. That's 70% fewer polling places than in 2012. I'm sure you have seen, I was looking at them all day on Tuesday. It was driving me nuts. Photos of long lines around the county, wrapping around buildings, city blocks, all day, all night. Those photos were remarkable. They were disgraceful, but frankly, also heroic in regard to those folks who were determined to stick it out and vote no matter what, no matter the fact that the corporate mainstream media was out there calling the election, saying that Hillary Clinton was the winner, while we had thousands and thousands of voters still in line trying to cast their vote in Phoenix. So to those voters, the last voter reportedly cast a ballot at about 12:15 a.m. on Wednesday. To those voters, I say thank you. You are my heroes. When the polls closed at 7 p.m., there were hundreds in line at many polling locations, thousands in some cases, thousands and thousands across the county. So there was that decision made by the recorder in Maricopa County, Helen Purcell, and more on her in a moment. But the other reason this happened was thanks to the Supreme Court and the fact that the Voting Rights Act was gutted back in 2013. Otherwise, Maricopa would have had to get approval before being allowed to change the number of polling places from 200 down to 60. They would have had to get approval from the federal government because of their history in Phoenix of racial discrimination at the polls. They would have had to get that rule change pre-cleared, and they would have had to demonstrate that the change wouldn't have disproportionately affected certain voters. Now, down in Pima County, which is Tucson, the second largest county in Phoenix, they had 130 polling places open on Tuesday. 130 polling places compared to Maricopa County, which has four times the number of voters, and they only had 60 polling places open. Local broadcast media, to their credit, was actually very good on this. They called it a fiasco. Joe Dana for 12 News noted at 11 p.m., he took a photo of a downtown Phoenix voting line with 300 people still in it at 11 p.m. at night. He said it's both inspiring and sad. 12 News actually did a great job covering what was going on. The national media didn't. The national media was declaring results, was declaring winners while all of these people were still trying to vote. 12 News actually talked to Maricopa County Recorder Helen Purcell earlier in the night to try to get an explanation about what happened. Here is here's Helen Purcell's answer midday or late evening on Tuesday.
Did you make a mistake with just 60 polling places, 70% fewer than 4 years ago?
I see that we have more lines at the polls. I'm encouraged that people are going out to vote. And should we have had more? Maybe so.
Maybe or yes, because people are really angry waiting 2 hours. And it's not just at a few. It's everywhere. And it's been going on all day. So should you have had more?
People are energized about this election. I guess I didn't realize that it was going to be that much of a turnout at the polls. Normally our turnout at the polls is very light because most of our people vote by mail.
You did have an indication, though, in the mail-in vote that there was a lot of interest right away. The mail-in demand was a record in itself, wasn't it? So you knew there was going to be a lot of interest in this election.
But that's usually the majority of our vote. It's the people that vote by mail. So we don't have as much of a turnout at the polls.
A voter tells me he called the county board chairman's office and was told there are fewer polls because it saves taxpayers money. Is that the reason we have fewer polls this year?
It is just one of the reasons. We looked at many different aspects of why we have put the polling places where we did and why we have the number of polling places that we have. We've made some significant changes since the last presidential preference election, and I'm sure we will make significant changes at the next one.
Here's a significant change we could make. Get rid of Maricopa County Recorder Helen Purcell. Just get rid of her. She is terrible. She spent the last 24 hours saying this is not my fault. She even blamed the voters. The voters, oh, they should have voted early. Oh, really? Well, had they voted early, as many of them did on the Republican side, they might have voted for a candidate like Marco Rubio, who is no longer even running. She is terrible. And, you know, I have no problem holding election officials accountable. The guy we've been talking about over the past week, Chuck Van Vertlo in Adams County, Illinois, where they ran out of paper ballots. You know, it was a horrific mistake. It resulted in thousands of people unable to vote. But he's a new clerk. He's only been there for a few elections. I spoke with him. He seemed to be really troubled about what happened. This Helen Purcell, nothing of the kind. She was taking no responsibility whatsoever. 12 News also talked to a Maricopa County supervisor who admitted, essentially, that they knew in advance this was a problem. This is Steve Gallardo, a county supervisor who tried to do something about it, or at least says he tried to do something about it.
How could this happen? Well, how couldn't they know? Well, they did know. A month ago, I got the number of mail-in ballots that were sent out by the county recorder's office. A month ago, it was 800,000. It was a record. So there was knowledge of this. And we have somebody here who's going to shed more light on that. It's County Supervisor Steve Gallardo, a former elections worker himself in that office. Supervisor, thanks for joining us. Take us back to a month ago and what the county board did, because the county board had to sign off on this.
Yeah, no, we had this discussion. Many of these questions were brought up at this particular meeting. The fact is that we are the fourth largest county in this country. We have over 4 million people. in Maricopa County. You cannot have 60 polling places. We didn't have a large voter turnout. We just had fewer polling places. 60 polling places was too many. We saw this coming. We knew. I knew. I had these questions. I knew this coming in, that this was going to be a disaster this year.
Yes, it was a disaster. He was right. Now, late today, just an hour or so ago, after refusing to take responsibility all day and all night, when she was asked by reporters, one reporter after another, frankly, local reporters, the mainstream national cable just sort of ignored what was going on. Finally, Maricopa County Recorder Helen Purcell was asked by the county about it, county supervisors again, and she finally said, yes, I take full responsibility for what happened in Arizona's election. Finally, she said that. Now, as I said, she should know better. She has been in office since 1988, this woman. She had the experience to know better, but she didn't. Here's what Bernie Sanders had to say about what happened in Phoenix, Arizona. On Tuesday, here's what he had to say today.
We got an email last night from a woman in Arizona who was waiting online for 5 hours to vote. Now, whether that, whatever the cause of that problem is, people in the United States of America should not have to wait 5 hours in order to vote. We do not know how many thousands of people who wanted to vote yesterday in Arizona did not vote. We don't know if they wanted to vote for Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, or whoever. We don't know that. But in the United States of America, democracy is the foundation of our way of life. People should not have to wait 5 hours to vote. And what happened yesterday in Arizona is a disgrace. I hope that every state in this country learns from that and learns how to put together a proper election where people can come in and vote in a timely manner and then go back to work.
Good for Bernie Sanders, calling it what it is, a disgrace, calling it what we have been calling it for so long on this program, when this same problem, frankly, has happened in state after state after state around the country during this election cycle so far. And yes, during past election cycles, when we have also pointed it out and we've begged and pleaded people to pay attention before it is their candidate who gets screwed by terrible election administration. Now, you'll notice one thing that Bernie Sanders said there was that we don't know who those voters were trying to vote for. And that is true. The fact is that if you were trying to vote for Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump or Ted Cruz or John Kasich, you would have run into those same problems if you tried to vote in Phoenix at the polling place on Tuesday night. Here's what Maria Teresa Kumar, who's the Voto Latino CEO, had to say about these long lines that were happening in Arizona.
One of the things that I'm hearing a lot from here on the ground in Arizona, though, is that I think it's going to be a forecast, a preview of what's going to happen during the November election, yeah, is the long lines that are happening here. Yeah. You have Maricopa Recorder's office basically saying that she consolidated voting places and basically is kind of shrugging her shoulders and saying, well, maybe we'll just switch the polling locations, but not addressing the real issues. And that, at the end of the day, the fact that it's impacting for the very first time Republican voters as much as Democratic voters might actually give us a window into modernizing these election systems.
Oh, okay. Now that it's happened to Republicans, and she's right. That was Maria Teresa Kumar talking about this problem briefly on MSNBC on Tuesday night. Yeah, she's right. Now that Republicans were affected by this as well, we might see change. That's the only time we see change. For whatever reason, these problems in our electoral system don't seem to change until a Republican gets screwed by it. Now, the Arizona Republic, just in Phoenix Mayor, apparently Phoenix Mayor Greg Stanton, I don't know if he's a Republican or Democrat, I'm going to guess he's a Republican, but now he's calling for a DOJ probe as voter anger grows over long waits. He called it a fiasco. Desi, do you know, is Mayor Stanton a Republican or a Democrat there?
Right. Although what was interesting is that he says that that Phoenix, mm-hmm, had one polling place per 108,000 voters, mm-hmm, but a sort of Anglo-dominated district called Fountain Hills had, mm-hmm, one precinct for every 22,000 voters. So that's,
oh, yeah,
five times more voters in that one area.
Oh, yeah. The average around the state, what I had it here, most counties had allotted enough polls for 2,500 or fewer voters per site. Maricopa, 20,833 voters per polling place. So, you know, Pima County had 130 polling places. Maricopa, with four times as many voters, over a million and a quarter people, had just 60 polling places. It's absolutely obscene. We should have seen it coming. We could have seen it coming. You know, holy hell should have been raised again. But you have to raise the holy hell before the elections, not afterwards. Now, there was also a number of reports of voters who had registered as Democrats. They were then showing up at the polling place and being told that they were registered as independent when they showed up at the polls. And because it's a closed primary that Democrats hold in Arizona, those independent voters were not able to vote, or they were able to vote on a provisional ballot, which will not be counted because they were not registered as a Democrat, at least according to the database. I think there is more to that story. And that may be, I hope that is part of what the DOJ ends up looking into, because a lot of people did report, in fact, that they went to vote, and when they got there, they were told, and they felt confident that they had registered as a Democrat, so they specifically could vote in the Democratic primary. And they were told, "Nope, your registration is either blank, or you're registered as an independent." Here again was Helen Purcell, Maricopa County Recorder, being asked about that issue on News 12.
I want to ask you about a complaint by Democrats saying their voters were told they were registered independent. These are voters who believe they were Democrat. They were told they were registered independent and so could not vote. You have checked into that. What'd you find?
We found we got a call from the Democratic attorneys, and we found that the names they gave to us were all registered independents.
And they just didn't know it?
Well, they said they obviously vote Democrat, but that's not the way they are registered.
Obviously. Obviously. There couldn't be a problem. Nobody was monkeying with those databases. It's the voters' fault. Blame the voters. Always blame the voters. Well, in this case, maybe it was. Maybe we should blame the voters. Maybe there were a lot of young voters, first-time voters, didn't realize that they had to vote, that they had to register as a Democrat to be able to vote in the Democratic primary in Arizona. We'll find out, as I often warn. That makes sense. Mayor Stanton of Phoenix, a Democrat. There you go. So he's the one calling for a DOJ investigation in Phoenix. I hope the DOJ does it. In any event, and I got to get to a break here. We're going to come back with more in a bit. But I hope there is an investigation. I know a lot of people are now calling for one in Phoenix. That sounds fine. But a pet peeve. This is for Bernie supporters, for Bernie Sanders supporters. You have every right to be concerned about what happened in Phoenix on Tuesday, as do supporters, by the way, of Hillary Clinton, of Donald Trump, of Ted Cruz, of John Kasich, of anybody who tried to vote on Tuesday. If you have a concern that people weren't allowed to vote, that the results are not accurate, you have every right to be concerned. But please, specifically for now, for today, I've made this I've yelled at Republicans about this for years. But please, Bernie Sanders supporters calling for an investigation, you should know better by now. The concern here is not voter fraud. Please stop repeating that there was voter fraud in Arizona. We don't know at this point, frankly, whether there was fraud at all. But if there was, there is certainly no evidence of voter fraud. The voters are doing fine. Please leave them alone. What you guys are worried about, what the Bernie Sanders supporters are worried about and should be worried about, is election fraud by party insiders, election official insiders, or even by the private contractors who program the voting machines and the electronic databases and everything else. But please stop shouting voter fraud. Unless you'd like to help Republicans to further suppress voters under their false claims of massive voter fraud. Their false claims that they are using to keep people from voting by claiming that voters are committing fraud. Right now, we have no evidence of voters committing fraud at all in Phoenix or Arizona or anywhere else, frankly. If you have concerns and you are right to be concerned, it ain't about the voters. It's about the elections, the election insiders, the election officials, the voting machines. Stop screaming about voter fraud. unless you have any evidence. All you're actually doing is hurting your own case and hurting other voters. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we will come back with more. Maybe your calls. I know a lot of people are lining up to talk to me if I can get to it. 818-985-5735 is our number. I want to tell you about a few more problems in Idaho and in Utah. So stay tuned. I'm Brad Friedman. This is the Bradcast. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Brad, and you're listening to the Bradcast on Radio Sputnik. Welcome back to the Bradcast. Yes, we are all along the watchtower for your democracy here once again today, following another election day in these United States. Desi Doyen, you asked me to explain once again very quickly the difference between voter fraud and election fraud. Well, very briefly, voter fraud is a type of election fraud, obviously. Republicans are claiming the voters are impersonating other voters at the polling places. There is no actual evidence of that happening. There is evidence of voter fraud via absentee voting, by the way. That where there is voter fraud, it tends to be via absentee voting. But election fraud is insiders, you know, gaming the system in some way, gaming the results, which is child's play, can be done in 30 seconds on the electronic tabulators that we now use, that people like Helen Purcell now have access to. It is making it harder for people to vote, closing down polling places like we saw in Arizona. If that is done for nefarious reasons, that would be election fraud. So just to draw the distinction there. Okay, a few more problems I want to get to here in some other states, and then I'll try to get to a call or two before we get to the Green News Report. Another busy day on the Bradcast. Go figure. If you don't get through, by the way, you can tweet me. I am the Brad Blog over on the Twitters, and I'm keeping my eye on that as well. Okay, where are we here? All right, let's move to Idaho for a second. Democratic caucus only in Idaho, where Bernie Sanders absolutely crushed Hillary Clinton by, 58 points? Just a huge victory. There were incredibly long lines up there as well. That delayed the start of caucuses by more than 2 hours in some places. And thus, the results were not available until very, very late at night on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. Bad planning that there were such long lines? Maybe so. But caucuses, as I mentioned earlier, are a different animal than primaries. Caucuses are run by the parties, not by professional election officials like Helen Purcell in Phoenix. And in places like Idaho, where they have frankly never seen anything like this kind of support for a Democratic candidate like Bernie Sanders, party officials, they can only best guess it. And so that's why it led to the long lines. So anybody who was able to be there for several hours anyway for the caucuses hopefully was able to get in and take part. But that is what ended up delaying the results reportedly out of Idaho. Hopefully, as I say, everyone who wanted a caucus was able to. Democratic officials in Boise were referring to the big crowds as the Sanders effect. Again, which, you know, in a Republican leading state reflects the case that Bernie Sanders has been making about how he will be able to turn out voters who usually don't turn out, independents, young voters, etc., in a way that Hillary Clinton cannot. That's his argument, and it, at least in Idaho, it does seem to be underscored. In Utah, also very long lines at some caucus sites around the state and record turnout, again, at some of them. On both the Republican and the Democratic side, by the way, in those Utah caucuses, there were some concerns that we discussed on yesterday's program. A lot of concerns that we discussed on this program about the insane internet voting experiment that Utah Republicans decided to carry out on Tuesday on their voters, to use their voters as guinea pigs, some 50,000 of them. in an actual live election, a live nominating contest in any event, in a caucus. We talked about some of the concerns about that, about internet voting, and how the world's computer security experts have begged and pleaded to not use the internet to carry out actual democratic elections, small d democratic elections. Talked about it in some detail on yesterday's program. The single biggest problem with online voting, says Wired, after talking to a bunch of security experts, computer security experts, which I've also been talking to over the past 24 hours about this. The fact that people's personal devices are nearly impossible to secure. Avi Rubin of Johns Hopkins said the end points that people are voting on, their phones, their iPhones, their computers, are also susceptible to malware and remote controls. A hoax website could – voters could be directed to a hoax website where they think they're casting a vote that is never actually processed. And in fact – That's what some white hat hackers did. If you go to bradblog.com, you can see that, in fact, the site to vote, if you were a Republican who signed up to vote in this Utah GOP online caucus on Tuesday night, you were supposed to go to ivotingcenter.us to cast your vote. Now, it would be completely, unverifiable for those of us to know if the results were actually correct. It is unverifiable, but that's what they did anyway. So you would go to ivotingcenter.us. However, if you went to ivotingcenter.gop, and we have a picture of both sides on our website, ivotingcenter.us is the real site to vote in this Republican online caucus. The completely fake site is called ivotingcenter.gop, and they look identical. And the second one was set up by one of the white hat hackers, the computer scientist, frankly, in truth, who broke into the Washington, D.C. internet voting scheme that was set up back in 2010 and completely took over the system. Well, in this case, what he did, this is Alex Haldeman. We had him on this show to talk about it. But he set up a site that looked identical. Now, if Alex Haldeman had been a bad guy, you would have gone and voted, cast your vote. And you would have thought you voted in the caucus in this case, the Republican caucus. But he's not a bad guy. So instead, if you try to vote at ivotingcenter.gop, which is totally fake, a big red sign jumps up that says, "Stop. You almost fell for it. This site is an imposter. The real Utah GOP online voting portal is at ivotingcenter.us. If you fall for a trick like this and vote at a fraudulent site, criminals might steal your vote. Voting online carries serious cybersecurity risks, from simple dirty tricks to sophisticated attacks that could change who wins. Ask your voting officials for proof that every vote really counted." So you can go see that. It's quite amazing and a little bit funny because all of the e-voting experts, all of the computer science experts, all beg and plead for them to not do this, and yet they do it anyway. In this case, it's Republicans in Utah. We've had initiatives from Democrats out here in California for internet voting. The Wired article on this went on to say that of all the risks associated with online voting, perhaps the biggest one is simply the fact that it requires handing control over to a single private corporation. In this case, it's a corporation by the name of Smartmatic, which I don't have time, but we have reported on great detail on Smartmatic and the Venezuelan company that was once tied to Hugo Chavez. Who lied about that, those ties here in the U.S. Anyway, it's an issue that Wired points out. It's an issue, this private control by a single private corporation, as we saw in that case on Tuesday night, that arises not just with online voting, but also with in-person electronic voting machines that are manufactured by a tiny number of vendors. Well, in fact, there were problems voting in that online caucus, as I warned that there would be.
both state party offices and the helpline set up by Smartmatic to handle the online voting for the GOP were deluged with calls from Utahns having problems casting their vote on this system. The calls, in fact, overwhelmed their system. They received thousands of calls from Utah voters. The bulk of calls were from folks who wanted to register to vote online, not realizing that they missed the party's deadline. But some people had complications completing the online voting process at all. Some confused their registration confirmation numbers with their PIN numbers that they needed to vote in this online caucus. One guy said, "I tried 8 or 9 times without success after filling out who he wanted to vote for to go to the next page. He tried for 2 or 3 hours, finally got it through." So, you know, other than that, online voting is a great idea. We should totally do it as soon as possible. Brother, do I have time for a very quick? Okay, let me try a very quick. And you all are going to have to be short in your calls because I was so long in my ranting. Sorry. Steve in Torrance, welcome to the broadcast. What's up, Steve? Oh, I'm having trouble hearing. Do I have the wrong button there? Let me try this one. Steve in Torrance. No good? All right. Sorry about that, Steve. Are we having problems getting our call through, G? All right. Let me try to go. Okay. Let's go to Susan in Redondo. Sorry about that, Steve. Let's try Susan very quickly.
Hi.
There we go. Hey, Susan.
Hi, I understand the feeling of passion about this. I actually, as soon as I learned about Bernie running, I was concerned that what happened to Kucinich years ago, them keeping him out of every debate after he won the first one, was going to happen. So I did a petition at moveon.org. They could mm-hmm. use lots of signatures. You'll have to write it in. It says the title is "Let Democracy Work."
Susan, is yours the petition that is claiming voter fraud in Arizona?
No,
okay,
not
good.
At all.
Because I heard there was one doing that. All right.
Make sure that everybody who deserves and qualifies to be on a ballot is allowed without any shenanigans is basically what it says.
All right. Well, that's over at moveon.org. Thank you for that, Susan.
Let democracy work. I capitalized democracy is in all caps. I don't know if that makes a difference. Let democracy work. You'll probably have to write in the title.
Okay.
And perhaps we can call the Carter Center in like they do for other.
Well, yeah, the Carter Center has already said years ago they will not monitor elections in the U.S. because they have certain standards. Seriously, they have certain standards for elections for democracy before they will agree to come out and monitor those elections. And the U.S. Voting system does not meet the standards of the Carter Center. Not kidding.
Susan, Brad,
yeah.
One last quick thing.
Quick.
To vote Democratic, mm-hmm. You have to be either in California anyway, you have to be either registered Democrat or declined to state. A lot of people think that they put independent means they can vote for anybody. That's a party in California.
Yeah, that's the right-wing American Independent Party. Absolutely. Susan, I got to get to a break.
Declined to state.
Yes, either declined to state or Democratic if you want to vote in that. Thanks for the call, Susan. Again, Bernie Sanders supporters who I saw out there yelling at Hillary for stealing the election in Arizona. There is no evidence that Hillary had anything to do with what went on in Arizona, in Phoenix. I'd love to bust her for it if there was, but there is no such evidence. So please don't undermine your own case by claiming things that for which there is no evidence, for calling it voter fraud when the voters are doing fine. Please go to bradblog.com. We've been writing about this for, you know, well over a decade now, trying to draw the distinction, trying to help. I would be the first one to call out anybody for fraud. But don't claim fraud when we don't have evidence of fraud specifically. Call for the investigation. Daryl on the 101 freeway called in. He couldn't hold on to ask what happened in Illinois. Was that election fraud? Again, as of now, no evidence of fraud. Big evidence of failure by election officials, specifically that one I mentioned in Adams County, Illinois, which is Quincy, Illinois. But, you know, go back to our last few broadcasts over the past week. I think we've been talking about Illinois every day. All right, if you're still hanging on the line, keep hanging on. I'll try to get to you if possible. But I do have to take a quick break, and we've got to get to the Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman. This is your Bradcast, and here we always tell the truth.
Hey, this is Brad, and you're listening to the Bradcast on Radio Sputnik.
Welcome back to the Bradcast, melting for Desi Doyen momentarily with the Green News Report. A couple of quick tweets that came in. Sean Osborne writes, a first-time listener, love the show. Hashtag this might make you mad. And he pointed me to a sound clip that I can't listen to. So I don't even know what I'm going to be mad about. I can't listen to it. I'm on the air.
But thanks. We'll listen later.
Yeah. Greg Schwartz says, come on, the Brad blog. It's hard to believe the DNC machine had nothing to do with the disenfranchisement of who knows how many Arizona voters. Okay, Greg, good point. It may be hard to believe that. And if you think it's true, let's find the evidence for it. Because right now you've got a 20-year Republican in charge of voting who made the decision in the in Maricopa County, Phoenix. Helen Purcell, the recorder there, who made this choice. Now, did Democrats ask her to do this? Maybe. Let's find out. Find some evidence. But if you're going to go out and start yelling at the DNC machine, how do you know it wasn't the Ted Cruz machine, the Republican machine, who didn't want people coming out and voting for Donald Trump in that same primary because they were screwed too? Anyway, maybe they did it. Let's bust them. Let's bust the DNC. I'd be delighted to do that. But until we have evidence, yelling and screaming about how Hillary is stealing the election, how the DNC is stealing the election,
it doesn't help.
No, it doesn't help. What does help is your observations, your stories, what happened on Election Day, calling it in to 866-OUR-VOTE so they can record all the problems and we can find the patterns, letting your local media know about it, complaining to your registrar, your local
social
registrar,
media.
Secretary of State. Make noise. Raise holy hell. But let's not make claims unless we can support. Speaking of supportable claims, Desi Doyen and your Green News Report.
Yes.
Is it all?
It's ready to go. We should probably go because we're running late.
Okay. Let's do it. Our latest Green News Report.
This is about doing the best thing for our whales, our guests, our employees, and SeaWorld.
SeaWorld vows to end captive orca breeding program.
I'd be surprised if 50% of the coral recovers.
Great Barrier Reef in distress amid worldwide coral bleaching event. Americans' concern about global warming rises to new levels. Drought shuts down Venezuela. Plus, it's not just Flint. Towns across America have a lead contamination problem.
All of those stories and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
The Flint water thing, not just in Flint. 20% of this country has lead in the water. That's the bad news. On the bright side, it does kind of help explain the Trump thing.
Well, yeah, I guess now that you think about it, this is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, as you mentioned in the opening, the problems with lead in our drinking water are not confined only to Flint, Michigan, and not only to supporters of Donald Trump.
That is unfortunately true. Many towns across the country have a lead contamination problem in their drinking water. That's according to a new analysis of EPA data by USA Today. Test results over the last 4 years show nearly 2,000 additional water systems with excessive levels of lead that in total serve about 6 million Americans.
2,000 water systems?
Yes, and by law, states oversee enforcement of water standards, and EPA's authority to intervene is pretty much limited.
So you're being an apologist for the EPA.
I'm being a realist for how the law is written.
Oh, you and your realism.
The nation of Venezuela is shutting down all but essential services for a week in an emergency move to conserve electricity. Venezuela is heavily dependent on hydroelectric dams for their electricity, but prolonged drought exacerbated by El Nino has severely reduced the water available for generating electricity. Critics also say that the administration of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro has failed to maintain electricity infrastructure. SeaWorld has announced it will stop all breeding of killer whales in captivity and that the generation of orcas currently in SeaWorld's care will be the last. According to the president of SeaWorld Park San Diego, John Riley, at a press conference, society's attitude is changing.
The world is changing, and in the case of orcas, it is an attitudinal change that we help create. And now we need to change too. These announcements show that SeaWorld is listening and changing.
The public backlash to SeaWorld's captive orca program began with the documentary Blackfish a few years ago. What is now uncertain is how SeaWorld will care for the remaining 28 whales in its possession. Here's marine biologist Naomi Rose.
They need to get out of those tanks. I don't think those tanks are good for them. And so I would like to continue a dialogue that explores options such as seaside sanctuaries, coastal sanctuaries for these animals, where they'll be in more space and a more natural habitat.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has confirmed NASA data that February 2016 was the hottest February ever recorded and the 10th month in a row to break the monthly global temperature record for that month. Partially goosed by a record intense El Nino, 2016 is now on the path to surpass 2015 as the hottest year ever recorded globally.
How long have we been doing this show?
About 7 years.
How long have we been saying exactly what you just said?
About 7 years.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you might be happy to learn that Americans' concern about man-made global warming is rising again. According to a new Gallup poll, concern has returned to levels last seen in 2008.
Well, hang on. That's when we started doing the Green News Report.
Well, so maybe it's having an effect.
Yes, ever since we started talking about it, interest has gone down.
But now it's back up again.
Okay.
A majority of adults, 64%, now say they are worried about global warming. That's up 10% from last year. And maybe coincidentally, the same number of people say they personally experienced that record warm winter we just had.
Don't worry, I don't blame you.
The oceans are also warming, and record-breaking temperatures in Australia have triggered a severe coral bleaching event in the Great Barrier Reef, putting officials on high alert. Extended heat causes corals to turn white and die, and reefs around the world are now experiencing the longest recorded bleaching event in history. And it's not just tourism that's affected by coral bleaching, but also the food supply, according to Professor Uwe Hoag-Guldberg of the University of Queensland.
Many parts of the world, if we continue on this journey, will become increasingly vulnerable to insecurity in their food supply. Around 300 to 500 million people get their daily food and livelihood from coral reefs alone.
Well, if we just keep saying it for another 7 years, maybe people will start figuring it out. For much more on that story and the ones we couldn't get to, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. You can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. Find us and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Yes, me complaining a lot about telling people things over and over and over for years and not people not listening. Go figure. All right. Greg Schwartz on Twitter. We do need to investigate the independent voters who say they re-registered as Democrats but were turned away in Arizona. We got to investigate that and a lot more, and hopefully we will. Thank you for joining us today. My thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen, to our booking goddess, Cynthia Cohn. I'm gone for a few days. Nicole Sandler will be in for me. But don't miss the next thrilling Bradcast. Until we meet again, you can drop me email, bradcast@bradblog.com, or on the Twitters at TheBradBlog. I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.